Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 58, on the way again, number 10. Today is Friday, August 1st, 2008. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Thank you for joining me today. You can subscribe to the podcast at Pastor Paul's blog. And that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you can leave a comment and share a testimony with the other listeners. You'll also find the show notes at the blog and scripture links. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call our comment line. So if you have something you want to share, be sure to call the comment line. That number is 1-715-808-0318. Or you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Be sure to go to our website. Right now it's a one-page website chock full of interactive links. That address is www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the homepage, you will see the interactive links to the blog, the podcast, Twitter, YouTube, and Flickr. So be sure to go check that out. The message, On the Way Again, number 10, was originally recorded on January 25th, 1985. How many years ago was that? When you listen to it, it is just as relevant today as it was then. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in the message. One of the things that struck me in the message was when Pastor Paul talks about if you receive the light, that you should act on it. And not let that light fade away. Kind of like when you get an idea. Say, oh, that's a great idea. I've got that idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. We should do this or that or whatever. And then, oh, say a week later, what was that? What was that idea I had? It's like it didn't even exist. Should have acted on it. Could have been one of the new inventions of our time. When you receive the light from the Holy Spirit, act on it. When you receive a revelation or a truth, act on it. Are you bringing friends to church, to the podcast? I hope so, because that's how the word is going to be getting out about Pastor Paul's podcast and his messages. You will only find them here. The podcast is not hosted anywhere else. So it's word of mouth. Tell a friend. And I know when you're listening to these messages, some of these things you're thinking, wow, I wish so-and-so could hear this. You know, things are going to hit you that way. Bring them to church. We're going to continue the series On the Way Again until we run out of those On the Way Again tapes. We love them. I love you, and thank you for joining me now this week as you change direction to perfection. God bless you.
On the Way Again, number 10. Sunday, we ministered on the way, the kingdom of God, the order, and the person, Christ, the personal, and that they were one. We have the person, Jesus Christ, full of the new order. By the way, Jesus gives us orders. Oh no, when you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you just don't sit still and get into prayer meetings and just sit there all day long, but you do the Lord's work. He gives you orders. Go to the highways and byways, minister all creation. Go on out and feed the poor. Seek them out. Pray for them. Fast. Be involved. And that when we were first saved, He was the one that made the contact. We love Him because He first loved us. So then we said the conflict came, then the conversion, and then the cultivation. That's the plowing up of our attitude. See, a lot of people, they get the conflict and they get the conversion, but they never let the Lord cultivate them. They never go through the plowing up. You know, that's painful. But if you're going to have a ministry, you got to go through the plowing up, and that plows up all your attitudes. Hey, but everything works together for good. Even your old attitudes we'll use for manure. Paul says, I count all that I knew previous to this revelation, Jesus Christ, as dung. But it still was used. But then after the conflict came and the conversion came and the cultivation came, the plowing up of all of our attitudes, then the contribution comes and we need to contribute something. Think on that right now. What have you contributed to the body of Christ? You listening on the radio, you listening to the tape, what have you contributed to the body of Christ? Have you led someone to the Lord? Have you prayed and fasted and believed God for someone to be saved? Do you really care? Or are you involved just solely in yourself and solely in getting things for yourself and claiming for yourself and going on? But anyway, we went on that Jesus came through a divine invasion. God's destination is the battlegrounds of our hearts. When he comes in, he takes over. Then the battle begins, hallelujah. The incarnation, the atoning death, and the resurrection. That he lives in our hearts by the Spirit. Then that we develop a smile on the inside. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people can smile on the outside. But man, are they grumpy and mean and cantankerous and all that sort of thing on the inside. Oh, my. And who am I talking about? I talk about myself. Say amen, somebody. But in realizing those things, don't you see you can change? Don't you see that God can work on you and use you as a vessel unto glory and honor? And so going on, there is a song. The world is laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. And I think that's the way with a lot of Christians too. They're laughing outside, but they're crying on the inside. We can put on a front. We can say, I have no fear, and I can stand on this, and so on like that. We're full of fears. Because we haven't opened up and let God take that plow and cultivate us and plow all those old fears under. And so we're seeing a lot of mental cases in the house of God. People on the verge of going into insane asylums. Why? Because they haven't given themselves over to Jesus yet. Not all the way. But we must let him live in our hearts by the Spirit. I was driving this morning and I heard a song on the radio. It was from the 20s. And of course, that's before my time, but still it was in the 20s. And it went, I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to sing the blues. And oh my God, there's a lot of Christians singing the blues. I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to sing the blues down along the river. And I like to go camp out down by the river and sing the blues. How many hearing this? And there's a whole lot of them, and there's a whole group of them, and they're down there singing the blues because what started 13 and 14 years ago has got them singing the blues. It didn't work. Jesus was not lifted up. Self was lifted up. And so now they're singing, I have a right to sing the blues. Down along the river. How many hearing this? You have no right to sing the blues. You know why? For the Bible says you're supposed to be dead to that thing. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you get that dedication down deep in your heart and down deep in your spirit, you don't care what people say. You don't care what people do to you. You're working for the kingdom of God and for the cause of Christ. And that's really where you're at. When you're working for the cause of Christ, don't expect it to all be a rose garden. Just the opposite, my friend. Say amen, somebody. Now let's go on tonight and let's find out how to have the victory. We looked at the what of the way. Now we can look at the how of the way. We are called to a crisis. We must choose. Every choice causes some kind of action. That's why a lot of folks don't want to make choices. That's why you have to make choices for them. Help them along. Do this. Do that. because it's sort of a crisis every time they have to make one little move. Causes a conflict within them. But I'll tell you, if you're going to change, if you're going to rearrange your life, if you're going to allow Christ to move in your life, you're going to have to run into these crises day after day after day, because choices are going to have to be made. And every choice that you made has got to scream out to the Lord, Lord, help me to change. And when you cry that out, Lord, help me to change, He will. That's giving yourself over to Jesus. That's making a choice to follow Him in a great light and a greater revelation. Hallelujah. And when you do that, Jesus says, get ready. I'm going to run you through the battlefield. Glory to God. I'm going to take you through. You've chosen the way, and the way is me, and the way is suffering, and the way is going on to the glory of God and to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How many are hearing this word tonight? My God, let's get it on, folks. Let's be real Christians now. So what have I said in all that? It's either yes or no to the Lord. Heaven or hell will be in your yes or your no decision in your life. Even you Christians listening, you on the radio, this tape, every decision you make, every yes or no, is going to be either heaven or hell in your walk. Make your decision. And before you make it, you pray by the Holy Ghost. My God, my old Holy Ghost here, you just answer now, hallelujah, and you tell me what to do. Which road should I go? And He'll tell you every time. Every time before you do something, every time before you open your mouth, you pray for the divine guidance of the Holy Ghost. And you know what will happen? God will help you make that choice. And when you make that choice, there'll be a test and a trial to that choice that you made to see if you're for real in it. A trying of your faith. The trial of your faith. And so far we've been asking questions. And now that they've been answered, we can seek the transformation. And how are we going to do that? We must give up our will. And how can we do that, you say? We do that by an inner healing. By inner prayer. Now, I'm not talking about just praying out there in a market square with your mouth flapping so everybody can hear you and see how spiritual you are, see? I'm talking about praying down deep in your spirit. And when you pray down deep in your spirit, there's going to be a revealing of you. Now, you ain't going to like it. You're not going to like it because God is going to reveal things that He wants out of your life. And when they get out of your life, He fills you with brand new attitudes and brand new motives and brand new things. How many are with me on this message tonight? My God, God wants us to change by that inner search by the light of the Holy Ghost. How many know when the light of the Holy Spirit comes in there, and it's there to convict you. It's there to show you something within yourself. It's there to surface those things that Jesus has put in there. It's that searchlight of the Lord. It's a deeper conviction. And the result always is the cultivation. And when the cultivation comes, a lot of people say, ouch! How many have said ouch this week? My God, I have. Have you said ouch this week? Has the Lord dealt with you? You know what it'll lead you to? Contribution. Now you take your kid, the little one, he won't listen. You give him one of them spankings. It's the same way with a spiritual spanking. You're giving that little one direction. When the Holy Spirit deals with you and gives you directions, He gives you that chastisement and gets you out there doing something for the Lord, do you know what happens? You start to contribute. Well, the little one doesn't want to contribute, doesn't want to make its bed, doesn't want to do anything like that. But after it has that chastisement, I'll tell you something, it starts to contribute to the family. Say amen, somebody. And I think a whole lot of people need a little chastising. I know I do. Can you say amen, somebody? So anyway, we pass from the question to the quest. We straighten out our question marks into exclamation points. Quest. And the quest is the kingdom of God. To certainty. To realization. Hallelujah. When you get on beam with God, my God, there's a revelation in your heart. No one can stop you. Glory to God. You go on. And God gets a hold of you and shakes you and chastises you and sees which way you're going to go and causes you to stand on your feet and straightens out them old question marks into exclamation points. And glory to God, from certainty to realization and then to theory and then to the practical Christianity and from the OIC to the Lord, I'll do it, oh Lord. Oh yes, and there is a point, my friend, where there is no return. We're at that point right now. There is no return. There is no turning back. Glory to God. And I'm glad I'm on the way. Hallelujah. a point when you make a decision to go on, or the light you have, and listen very carefully what I'm going to say right here, the light you have will turn to darkness, and oh, how great is that darkness when God gives you a direction by the direct light of the Holy Ghost, and you have your quest, and you have your rhyme and reason by the Holy Ghost, and you have your orders from the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, and He tells you to go forth, and He says, don't turn back and don't lay down the plow and press forward towards that high mark, the calling in Christ, and you go on, and you say, oh my God, I've got the light, I've got the revelation, and you stop right there. You know what happens? You move into a great, great darkness. Say amen, somebody. I know I'm talking to a lot of people on the tape and radio ministry right now, my God, that have revelations from the Lord's 10 and 12 and 13 years ago that didn't follow through, and now they're in great darkness. Why is that? Because when God calls you out and you won't move, my God calls you out and you won't move, and our God calls us out and we won't move. He has to move on, and His light moves away. And it goes down somewhere where someone's going to listen. And it says in the end, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of this world to confound the wise. Isn't that thrilling? Say amen, somebody. Woo! But oh, how great is that darkness. See, walking in the light right now brings you to a revelation. A revelation, and the revelation takes you to the plow always. When you get a revelation in God, a lot of people go off half-cocked on that. Oh, and I used to, I'd get a revelation, ooh, ooh, and I'd get up and run around my office, I'd read some scripture, and I'd run all over, ooh, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost, ooh, and I'd almost start a whole brand new doctrine off it. And I go back, and I sit down, I know you heard me say this before, I'll say it again, and you sit down, and you lost it. Well, what happened to it? What's the formula? I mean, I felt real good. I got the goose pimples. My hair stood on end. My eyebrows popped out. I mean, how do I get that again? How come I got that witness from the Holy Ghost and now it's gone? Because you started on a brand new thing all by yourself. A lot of times people don't recognize that and they start off on a whole brand new weird old thing. Say amen, somebody. Woo! How many have done that? Guilty. How many have done it? Put your hands up. God's watching. Say amen. That's the first step in deliverance, is recognizing that we go off without the Lord a lot of times. Say amen, somebody. And that's why He goes to sleep in the boat. It's boring being with a bunch of boobs like that. Say amen, somebody. Don't like it? Good. Hope it just makes you good and mad. Radio audience, you get up and do something. Praise the Lord. Get up and do something. You hearing it? See, you must act on the light you have before you can receive any more. That's why it's so important for people to act on the light they have. Because if they don't act on the light they have, they will have no more. How do I back that up? Be faithful with the little things, and God will give you some bigger things to do. You have to act on the light you have. A lot of people want to wait till the whole house is lit up. They're sitting in the kitchen, and the light goes on. And so, well, I'm not going to fix anything on the stove here until the whole house lights up. Well, they'll die of starvation. They got to act on it. Now, God showed them where the icebox was, and I'm talking spiritual now, and He shows them where the refrigerator is, and so on like that, and He says, you do this, and this, and this, and this, huh? And then you move into other rooms. Or you can sit there and starve, waiting for the whole house and the whole revelation to unfold in 1 minute. Can't happen. See, we're too stupid to get the whole revelation of God in one little zap. You're only going to get it in little segments. Because you know why? That's the only way you're going to receive it, because you're not ready to. Now, does a kid learn everything in one day? Praise God that they don't. Wouldn't they be hard to handle? Say amen, somebody. You're mean enough the way it is. God can't give you. You don't have enough love yet. Now, even science says you only use a little piece of your brain. Oh, good, 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 good. Just look what we'd do to each other if we had the full power of the brain. Oh, my. How many are hearing this? How many know your mind must be washed by the water of the Word? Why is that? Because it needs to be washed. Why does it have to be renewed? Why does it have to be taken out and you have the mind of Christ? Because it's no good. Say amen, somebody. Woo! So tonight, consider your ways. Sit down and look at you. You ever done that? Really sat down, took a good look at yourself? A lot of people are scared to do that. You're scared to take a real good look at themselves. Say amen. Go ahead and take a look at yourself. Now you know what other people are looking at. The only reason you don't want to look at yourself is because you know a lot more than other people know. Say amen, somebody. But God knows you do, and God loves you. Sit down and take a good look at yourself, and then you'll make up no excuses for your Adam to pop up every once in a while and live. I'm going to hear this. Change direction towards perfection. Turn around. You know how many people have not turned around yet? You can talk to them, you can see them for 20 years, and you see them again, they haven't turned around yet. You're still talking to a stiff neck. Make a connection with Jesus Christ, your Lord. You need His grace and you need His power. It will be a direction towards perfection. Oh, how many times, my God, when we get in a trial, we don't depend on the Lord. We don't turn towards the Lord. We turn towards a person. Now, I'm not against counseling, but if you're in real trouble, people listening on the radio, this tape, some sitting here tonight, if you want to have a direction, correction, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He'll tell you way down deep in your spirit what you've done wrong. Say amen, somebody. You need somebody prophesying you, squeezing your head like a pimple, casting demons out of you every other day. You're mean enough the way it is. You don't need no help from demons. Say amen, somebody. The man is nasty. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? My God, that's why there's no change. We got all those excuses. Surrender yourself. You know, you might as well do it right now. Everybody sees you anyway. There's no hiding. You ever try to hide? You can't hide from people. How can we hide from God? My God, before I came up here tonight, I was in the shower. I said, oh God, help me. I need help. And I hear you saying, you certainly do. But don't you see that the admitting of it and that the recognizing of it is the deliverance? How many recognize that in their lives every day, that you need change? You need self to surrender. There's no hiding. Because, you know, the Bible says, walk in the light as the children of the light. You know what happens when you walk in the light? You get revealed. If you're really walking in the light, you're going to see your life change drastically because everybody's going to see your filthy garments. Say amen. And about the time you think they're all clean and nice and flowing and nice, you walk by a mirror, you see, and it's just a whole bunch of yunky rags hanging there. You know why it is? It's self-righteousness. And it says your righteousness is but stinking, filthy rags. Now, don't get all guilty over it. It's everybody's that way. It says your righteousness and next to God's righteousness. See, if you were as right as right as right as right and as lovely and as full of love as a person could ever be, it would be nothing next to God. Your righteousness, no matter how perfect it is filthy next to God's. Don't you see that? You listening on the radio, self-righteous ones. Don't you see that when you elevate yourself and get all self-righteous? You elevate yourself, but your rags are even filthier? I mean, it is with me. I start to walk in light. I say, God, give me revelation. I say, no, I think I'm doing pretty good. I think, oh, Lord, I thank you for the changes that are in my life. And I just want to praise you for it. Oh, God is so wonderful. And I start walking in more. Then I go into another lighted room. But this room has a little more light in there. And going from a 100-watt bulb, and then we go into a 200-watt bulb. And then I see some imperfections there. I say, God, what happened? It looked pretty good when I was in the kitchen. No, I'm in the parlor here. Man, I better get back in. The Lord says, no, no, stand in the light. Stay there and take your deliverance. Take your knocks. And you stay there and you get the revelation from God, and God speaks to you through the Word, and things are happening in your life. You say, my God, it's perfection in itself. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you. And now I can go out and show others how to live. And you move into another room. And you get in there like a little peacock standing in there. And you smell something. Well, there's nothing in this room but me, and that Lord says, yeah, that's you. Stinking, filthy rag. What happened? Oh, nope, stay right where you're at. You stay there, and you stay there until a change comes. I love you just the way you are. You're growing, but you're going to have to see that that nature has to change a step at a time, one room after the next. Hallelujah! How many are hearing this? Sometimes I think I'm in a 4,000-room house. Say amen, somebody. Never going to keep telling me. Well, the world even says it. They say, well, I'll die trying. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience. Thank you, Lord, for your understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're using me just the way I am, and I'm getting the revealing from you. I'm going to cease from struggling, Lord. The Lord spoke to me and says, don't struggle with the struggling. Just give your struggle over to Jesus. By the way, Paul, struggle must be. There must be a struggle. Or there's nothing. How can you have a victory without a struggle? How can there be good without evil? There is a struggle. How can there be light without darkness? There's a struggle. There's opposites. Start, Paul, accepting what the Word says. Make restitution wherever it's possible. Admit your faults. I had to go back. Got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I had to go back and tell a person that I was involved with in business deals. I said, I've embezzled funds. Admit your faults. Fellowship with Christians. So many times. You'll see young people, and they're going to, well, I can't leave my friends. They're left out there. They don't know the Word. They don't know Jesus. Well, you tell them about Jesus, then you get yourself out of there. Then if you run into a Christian that's off, then you get out of there too. Change your friends. Get away from people that don't want to do. Get away from people that are unbalanced and unfruitful. Get with people that are doers of the Word of God. And then have a quiet time and prayer time with Jesus. Get involved and stay busy. And I don't mean on the telephone either, girls. Quiet time with Jesus. Jan has a quiet time in the morning. I have a quiet time. You know where I have my quiet time? In bed. It's the most quiet place there is. In bed. And you have your quiet time with the Lord before you even get up out of that bed. Isaiah 1 and 18 through 20 says, "Come now and let us reason together." Quiet time with the Lord. Says the Lord, "Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Oh, obeying the Lord. What a wonderful feeling, hallelujah, when you obey the Lord and He takes you through. And whenever that you obey the voice of the Lord, the opposite voice comes in and challenges you to obeying the Lord, and that is your test and that is your trial. And oh, I'm so happy for people when they say, "I made it through, hallelujah, I made it through." Psalm 86 says, and verses 11 through 13, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Oh, so many people do not fear God. I, for one, fear the Lord. I'm very careful I don't say, "Thus saith the Lord, my God," unless He says it. "I will give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart." Oh, so many people give a piece of their heart to God. All your heart. That means you hold nothing back. Well, you know, sometimes when you're not okay, when you first start in your spiritual walk, you think you give all to the Lord. And you do, for the amount of revelation that you have. But just like I said, when you walk into another room, you find out you've held something back. It's called holding on. It's called holding back. Then you say, "Well, I've given it all to Jesus." And you go into another room, you find out you've held something else back. And it says, going on, "And I will glorify thy name forever. For thy righteousness, thy loving kindness towards me is great. And thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Have you heard this? Are you hearing it? Oh, from the depths of Sheol. Are you hearing it? From the depths of hell. Oh, a lot of times in our walk, things happen and it's just like hell, isn't it? Huh? People say that in the word. In the world all the time, say, "Oh, this is a living hell." Whew. Consider, I'm saying tonight, your ways. See, the way is simple and it's not complicated at all. How many know when God speaks, He keeps it uncomplicated? Go. Come. Feed. Share. Love. One word. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbors, love yourself. In doing those, you keep all the commandments, love. Isn't that simple? God doesn't complicate it, we do. We can complicate things by, you know, crystal balling and thinking, "Well, now, what exactly does that mean?" That means come. What does it mean when it means, you know, come unto me? What does that? No, we're going to sit down. We're going to go through. Well, just exactly. We're trying to find an excuse to get around coming to Jesus on a certain issue. No, it just means come. Even a dog knows it. Come, and the dog. Huh? A dog knows that much. Sit, and the dog sits. One word. You can learn a lot from a dog. Roll over. Stand up. Shake hands, huh? Do you know that Jesus speaks to you in one word a lot of times? Oh my. One word! Stop! Go and sin no more! He didn't spell it all out. Well, I don't want you to do this and this and this and this. And remember the time back there you did this? A great big lecture. Go and sin no more. Come out of that tree. Let's go eat. So simple. But see, we don't really want to do it. So we say, well, no, just exactly what does that mean? It just means what he said. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He means what he says. But we don't want to come, because when we come, we have a lot of things we want to hold on to. We want to bring all our other things with. He isn't calling everybody with you, and he isn't calling everything you own. He's calling you. And so, see, there's a struggle all the time. How many are hearing this? Do your ways tonight line up with the way? Ask yourself, does your conversation lift up Jesus? How many had conversations this week that did not lift up Jesus? Well, we do, don't we? Before we open up our yaps, we should say, now, is this going to lift up Jesus? And then the battle starts. You know why? Because there's something we really want to say. Oh, and it's just, ooh. That's like I was up the cafe up there. And the owner paid this kid $10 not to say anything because he just talks continually, incessantly. And without mercy on anyone, he just continually talks. He says, I'll give you $10 if you don't say anymore. And so I could see the kid was suffering. I had some breakfast, and the kid was there, you know. And you could just see he wanted to talk so bad. Oh, he wanted to talk so bad. Oh, he wanted to say something. And I went in the kitchen, and I told the owner, I says, look, it. The kid needs to talk. He says, this bet is not good for him. He says, why? I says, there's little bumps all over his body from the words trying to get out. And I think a lot of Christians would get the hives if they had to keep their mouth shut. Say, they just itch all over the place, itching to get into something. Say amen, somebody. Isn't it hard to shut up? Isn't it? Oh, God, it takes the grace of God to keep your mouth shut sometimes. Say amen, somebody. But his grace is sufficient, isn't it? And when you go through and you don't do it, do you know what happens? You get that good feeling. It's a good feeling that goes from the top of your head all the way down to your toes because you've obeyed the Lord. You know what the word was? Quiet. Hush, be still. Not a great big sermon. God speaks to the windy ones. Hush, be still. In other words, paraphrase, shut up! You know. Huh? Even the winds obey. That isn't saying the windbags are, but I'll tell you one thing, if they do, they get blessed. Does your conversation lift up Jesus? And then you're tempted to cover up. Hide your motives? Huh? How many have been tempted to cover up in their spiritual walk? Huh? Say one thing and mean another? Disguise your desires? Oh, people try to justify themselves and they miss out on blessing after blessing after blessing. Then they rationalize. Then they start to think with their emotions. Then we rationalize our wrongs and give excuses for the inexcusable and prop up ourselves again. And Adam is propped up. Whatever we can use, no matter how it affects others, we use it. Be sure your sin will find you out, the Bible says. Have you ever tried to cover something up? That's a sin. Has it found you? Most embarrassing. Say amen, somebody. You may even say, well, everybody's doing it. Well, I'm in sin, but God still's blessing me, one person told me. Well, you know, I've been sinning, but God is still blessing me. I said, look out. Your blessings will turn to curses when you least expect it. God will cut you off. Others' conduct is not your business, you see. But on the other hand, your conduct is other people's business. You know why? People are watching you. Isn't there a song they have? It's a modern song. Somebody's watching me, huh? Did you know that there is someone watching you tonight? Think about that. There's a great cloud of witnesses. A dead aunt, your father, your mother, Moses, Elijah, hosts of angels, God, the Holy Spirit, people that are still breathing down here on planet Earth. They're watching you. You're an object to be watched. Well, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. He's watching. You know, sometimes we think, well, how can he watch everybody at the same time? He's got a big eye. He can be looking right at somebody else, and he still sees you. We can't get by with anything. Praise God for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. How many are hearing this message tonight? Woo! Let self go to pieces tonight. I mean, let it go. Humpty Dumpty, have a great fall. Let go and let God. Consider your ways. In Isaiah 1 and 2 through 6 says, listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and the world says, just a big dumb ox. But even the ox knows its owner. And the donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons that act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy Spirit of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises and welts and raw wounds. Oh, there are so many people that are in such resentments in such bitterness, in such competition. And that's why it's so important to allow the physician to see us, because we're sick in the head sometimes, aren't we? Aren't we faint in our bodies? Aren't we sick in our heads? And don't we all need the great physician? I do. In Psalm 119, 32 through 34, teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding, I may observe thy law, and keep it with all my heart. God will show us, hallelujah. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Wow. Woo. Hallelujah. There's someone that knows himself. There's someone that's crying out to the Lord, Lord, teach me, give me understanding. And then we have Psalm 51 and 6. Lift up your eyes to the sky. Then look to heaven beneath. For the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. And my word is salvation. My word, Jesus, is salvation. And my righteousness shall not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, neither be dismayed by their revilings. For like the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Whew. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old. Oh, goodness. The generations of long ago, was it not thou that cut Robin to pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not thou who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed of the cross to cross over? So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting unto Zion. Hallelujah! And everlasting joy will be upon their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Oh God, what a beautiful verse. All sorrow, all sighing will flee away. All the all sorrow and all sighing. Isn't that beautiful? How many are hearing this? Oh, God. Oh, God. Change directions. Go farther out. Because the farther you go down the wrong attitude lane, the farther it will be to come back. Oh, when you've made a mistake, correct it right away. Because the further you go in that mistake, or the further you go in that lie, the more you compound it, the harder it is to come back. And you got to crawl over all them compoundings. Say amen, somebody. If God shows us the truth in the very beginning of our ministry, in the very beginning of our walk, and we just sort of shirk it off, and we know we're going the wrong way, and we think, oh, well, I must be going all right because God just let it slip by. He didn't see it. He just forgave me, and I can go on. No, you're going to have to go back. Oh, my God, it's going to be hard for folks. People that have leaned upon their own understanding. that have fashioned the Word of God into something for their own good, that have denied the suffering and the suffering with Christ to gain in the glory? Do you mean I have to give up all my self-claiming books and tapes? Oh, people got tapes on prosperity and they got rooms full of them and they're going to have to take and just do away with them. Say amen, somebody. How many hear what I'm saying here? Above all, that your soul should prosper. They're going to have to burn all that. They have to admit, oh, how hard it is to slide down that spiritual mountain. Because every step that you take away from the way costs you three steps. One step in going away, one step in coming back, and the one step you lost. You're going to have to slide down that spiritual pride mountain, and it's awful painful. People crawling up are going to say, hey, there goes standing on the promises for self, Gus. Only he's sliding down on the seat of his pants. See, evil doesn't pay, does it? You must pay. How many know you have to pay when you do evil? Payday comes. Payday comes. Oh, God. Why not stop right in that thought? Why not stop right in the middle of that action? Why not stop before that word comes out? Why not stop before you rebel against God because there's a person there that you're competing with and you got to have your way and you know it isn't really correct what you're saying, but you're not going to let them have their way? Well, what? Hey! I've known the Lord for 20 years. You've only known Him for, you know, 4 or 5 months. Hey! But they're right in what they're saying. And you're convicted in your heart. But you're too spiritual. See? Are you hearing what I'm saying here tonight? Evil doesn't pay. You're going to have to repent sooner or later. Oh, God, it's hard when you don't repent right away. Isn't it? How many can say amen? God shows you and you just, hey, it's so easy right there. It gets harder. It's like that, you know, when you're in school. Remember when you're in school and you you went to homeroom? Most of the time when I went to homeroom, I went with a waiter's uniform, apron on, because I left my dad's cafe and I'd run and I'd forget I had my apron on. Huh? And there I was. I can still picture myself now. And I'd run and I'd get my thing, you know, and I'd sit there. And at that particular time, I was the president of the class and I had all these things to do and so on like that. And there I was sitting with my apron on. And then I might have said some kind of a harsh word to somebody. So then I knew it was wrong. I wasn't saved yet, but I knew it was wrong. And I thought, well, I'd like to make up, but I can't. And I'd like to say I'm sorry, but I can't. And then it got worse and worse and worse. And then you were going to walk over to their locker after homeroom, and they're going to their various rooms, and you're going to walk over and say, I'm sorry, but, well. And you walk by them, and you thought, well, I'm going to meet the person down there and when we have dinner, and I'm going to say I'm sorry down there, and I'll just say, hi, oh, I'm so sorry, I acted so stupidly. But then you see him standing in line with somebody else. Oh, and then the devil says, oh, now they're talking, see? They're talking about you. See, it would have been so easy in the beginning. You know, grudges are carried like that for years and years and years, and people die that way because they don't stomp it out in the very beginning. Huh? Say amen, somebody. They don't stomp it out in the very beginning. Is there something in your life like that tonight? You listening on the radio? Something like that in your life that you could have, you know, done away with right away, and now it's built into a great big mountain, and now you got to find excuses for hating that person? Don't worry, you'll find them. And there'll be people to help you find them too. Oh, God. You got to repent because sooner or later you have to anyway. You'll have to say, I'm sorry. See, you have to eat your words. What have you been cooking lately? You have to eat your own words. What have you been cooking up? I'll tell you, I've cooked some messes in my life. Not fit for a pig or a maggot either. And you end up having to eat them. Even the world knows that. You're going to eat those words, huh? Oh, my. Change all the way. Change all the way in that spiritual house I was talking about. Change in the kitchen. Take direction there and go to the next room and expect God is going to have you to change for that room. Talking about going into a larger room. And as you go into a larger room, you're a little bit more insignificant again. Not quite as great as you were. Don't hold back part of yourself like Ananias and Sapphira. Don't do it. Or like King Herod. For Herod feared John. And when he heard him, he did many things. But he didn't do one thing. He wouldn't let go of that woman. One thing he held back. Don't turn sideways. Turn all the way around. When Jesus says turn around, don't turn sideways. See, because you can always, if you don't turn all the way around, you can always see to the left and to the right. Turn all the way around. All the way. When Jesus says repent and turn around, turn all the way around. Turn your back on that thing. Don't cut down on your habits. Cut them out. Oh, that's so hard. You listening on the radio, you chasers. Don't cut down. How can you cut down on chasing? You just chase a little bit? Huh? How can you chase a little bit? Take it from me, radio audience. You're a chaser or you're not a chaser. The choice is to or not to. How can you cut down on booze? Can't do it. Can't do it. Got to cut it out. Don't cut down. Cut out. Would you, if you were being operated on someone... And you had cancer, would you just like to, you know, cut a little piece out or cut it all out? Well, the doctor says, we want to cut down on this cancer or do you want to cut it out? I'm sure the decision would be pretty easy to make, wouldn't it? Well, if you just cut down on it a little bit, it'll grow and you'll die within a week. Or we can cut it out and you can live. What's your choice? Oh, God. The choice is easy, isn't it? Because you know it'll kill you, and so will sin. Oh, the chasers. Say amen, somebody. You know it takes the power of God to keep a chaser from chasing. It takes the grace of the Lord to stop the chaser from chasing. How do I know that? Because there was a chaser. I chased everything. Say amen, somebody. I'm just talking about that old dead person out there, so don't be judging. Say amen. But it's the power of God that keeps you from chasing. And it's the grace of God that keeps you from boozing. Oh, just one drink. Ah, no one knows me. Kansas City, here I come. Huh? No one knows me down here. I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. And you get down there, nobody knows you. And the lights are blinking, booze, booze, booze. Girls, 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 huh? Now you look all around and there's no Christians down there to see you. And you look all around and you're slinking. You know it's wrong, well, you can tell by the way it's wrong by the way you're acting. Huh? Huh? Then you get in that place and you try to act like it repulses you. It doesn't repulse you at all. Say amen. Oh, no one will see me. No one will see me. Huh? And somebody comes up and taps you on the shoulder. What are you doing in here? Well, I might ask you the same thing. What are you doing in here? How many are hearing this message tonight? Say amen, somebody. You will never be delivered until you depend on the grace of God to deliver you and recognize where you're at right now, whether it be in the kitchen or whether it be in another room. When you get in that next room, God is always going to show you something about yourself that needs change. Always, 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 always. But it's always for more freedom and more liberty and more victory over the devil. And you feel so free on the inner person. My God, you just feel great. But there's a battle every time. There is a battle. Sometimes you say, oh, it's too great, I can't stand it. I don't want to go. Please, Mr. Custer. Huh? Go! Fight the battle, it's worth it! You girls out there got some man misusing ya. Hey, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I don't care how he comes up with his little boy look on his face. Don't let your mother instincts override what God is saying. Say amen, somebody. Oh, but he just looks so pitiful standing outside. And I look through the little peek hole, the girl said, the little peek hole. And I says, well, don't they look kind of weird out there when you look through them peek holes? They look like a what do you call them? Like a pear. And they're smiling out there and they look real weird. Huh? So why did you let him in the room? Why did you let him in the house? God. How can you cut down you out there and all you kleptos? Oh, there's a lot of people that are into stealing. There is. I just can't help myself. I really don't steal. This pile over here was the same thing. It was $1.29, and over on this pile was $1.69. And I don't know. I took him and I looked around and I put the $1.29 on this tag over here. Now you tell the police when they come. Well, I've cut down a lot on my stealing, officer. That ain't gonna cut your jail sentence down. Say amen. You can't cut down on things. You got to cut them out. You hearing this, preachers? Hey, you better start cutting things out instead of cutting down on it. Well, don't they say that in the world? Cut it out! That's a quick word, isn't it? Shouldn't we tell each other when we see someone that's really in spiritual straits and spiritual problems or having all kinds of problems, you say, cut it out! Instead of walking up and say, why don't you try to cut down the little guy? Cut down on your chasing. And then the guy says, you know what? I cut down on my boozing. I just cut way down. I'm only drinking a pint a day now, and I was drinking a quart. And you have to say, cut it out. Depend on the grace of God to cut it out. Because if you're still on that pint, and you're trying to wean yourself away, The devil will give you an excuse. Oh, call them Christians? Oh, hey, just get out of that thing. Go back to a court a day. Two courts. Hey, show them. Cut it out. It's the only way. Cut it out. Cut the cancer out. Cut the attitudes out. They're there, aren't they? And, oh, people aren't always the way we expect them to be, are they? Are they? Are you the way you expected you'd be when you got up in the morning? Did you expect you'd turn into a monster? Did you? No, you got up and you put your little socks on, and you put your little trousers on and your little shirt on, and you were a perfect little person, and you turned into a monster. Why is that? Because there was somewhere along the line when you went outside and your car wouldn't start or something, or you got mad at somebody when you were driving, and God told you, don't get mad, say, praise the Lord. Praise, and you didn't do it. And then after you said that, ooh, you just got somebody and said, praise the Lord. Didn't work. Doesn't work that way. And oh, hey, if you run into somebody that already knows that, don't say, told you so, told you so, told you so, told you so. You're taking your life in your own hands. That's none of your business. God will give it to them. See, you should have. You heard the message last night. You should have done this, and you can't expect people to be the same way every day. See. Oh, hey, you're taking your life into your own hands. Just shut up. Say amen, somebody. We're so good at going ahead and explaining everything to everybody else, but when it comes to ourselves, and we're driving along, and someone pulls in front. Ah! Oh, well, praise the Lord. Doesn't work. I say, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I did it again. I'm sorry. I did it 7 times, and the Lord says, 7 times 70 in a day. 490 times. Just keep coming to me with your eyes. I'm sorry, Lords, and it's going to work out. I'm going to work something in you while you're working this thing out. Let me work it in. You work it out, okay? But when it comes out, deal with it and say you're sorry and repent and turn around and you'll grow in that. But if you don't, you'll turn into a monster. Isn't that right? Is that right or is that wrong? It is definitely right. I know, I was fit for horror movies a lot of days because I didn't change. How many are hearing this? Connect with Jesus. Connect. Connect with Jesus. You know how you make a connection with Jesus? Now they got these connection shows. Do you know how you have a spiritual connection with Jesus? By confessing your fault and saying, my God, I'm sorry. And you know what? That takes care of the guilt, by the way. How many are hearing this message tonight? That takes care of the guilt. Simply say, I'm sorry. And you know when you say that, you can feel it down inside. My God, it's just gut level. Don't let the devil accuse you and condemn you. But you say, oh my God, I am really sorry. Oh God, I'm sorry. Now you have to show that you're sorry by doing something good. And God will always give you something good to do after you said you're sorry. Because you feel good. And when you feel good, then you can do something good. When you're forgiven and you feel good, then you can do something good. But if you don't feel good because you haven't got forgiven, you can't do anything good. You can't do nothing right. And you're a stinking boob. Are you hearing it? So first of all, you have to make restitution. You have to say, I'm sorry. I failed. And I'm sorry. And then God makes you feel good. And then the first thing you can say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he's going to tell you to do something. That's where people miss it. They get the good feeling, ah, I feel free. And they go out and they don't start practicing doing good. So they fall right back into evil again. Time after time after time after time. Are you with me? Repent. You listening on the radio, I feel in my spirit right now there's somebody that's got to leave some friends. Leave them. Leave those friends. Leave them. Maybe God has given you a revelation. Maybe God has given you a directional push. Maybe God is moving you to a larger room. Don't stay back there in that smaller room. Go into the larger room. Started thinking the night I was preparing. And I thought, Judas, he repented. It says he repented himself. And he went to the high priest and threw down the 30 pieces of silver. I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they answered, well, what is that to us? What a group, huh? Isn't sin rude? What is that to us? When your friends lead you back, have you to betray the Lord and go back into these things. And you say, I betrayed the Lord. Oh, what's that to us? Get out. Oh, hey. They don't want nothing to do with you then. See, Judas repented the wrong way. He should have went to Jesus. He should have pulled the whip away from them. He should have carried the cross. He was sorry. And he regretted his decision. But he was sorry because he got caught. Don't turn to the church. Don't turn to a man. Don't turn to the pastor. Turn to Christ Jesus. Don't just live by Christian principles so people will say, boy, that's a man of high principle. But so that Jesus will be seen in you. So people will see the way in you. Let me read a piece of scripture here out of Acts. Acts 2, 37 through 39. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Have you ever been pierced in your heart? I mean, pierced in your heart. And you wanted to know what to do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off. And they say that, no, that was way back then. No, all your children, and for those children, and for all those that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. O Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come in tonight. Come in today and touch the people that are listening to this tape and are listening to this radio message and touch them. Comfort them. We've got to surrender, I'm saying, and I'm closing this message. We all bend our knee to something. We bend our knee to what other people say. Don't we? Someone says something. Right on. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Huh? We all bend our knee to something. Public opinion. Popular opinion. Oh, God. How easy it is when it's a popular thing to do, to bend your knee to it. And then people check out all the possibilities before they surrender. They surrender with terms. Surrender all. See, because if you don't, self-interest can be your God. How will this affect me? Oh, how many times in my ministry have I thought, how will this affect me? That's something to think about when you have to make large decisions. How will this affect me? Will anyone believe? It's not the popular thing to do. Will anyone believe? You know, you know what I'm saying? It's not the popular thing to do, and it's so easy to bow your knee. Oh, yeah, that, well, I guess you're right. Uh-huh, I bow my knee to that. Bow down, have no other gods before me. Don't bow to public opinion. Bow down to the word of the Lord and what the Lord is showing you to do. I know there's a lot of people that have bowed down, and they know they bowed down wrongly. They're serving other gods. Oh, and they're falling all over the place. When the real trial and the real persecution comes in the end, how will they ever stand? You bow down to something, you bow down to money. Oh, I bowed down to that for years. You bow down to sex. Oh, I bowed to that. You bow down to your ambition. Oh, selfish ambitions. I had money out. I would loan money out to this person and that person and this person and that person and all over. And I had little notebooks. And then when it came time to collect, I'd walk over, hey, collect. But there was always three or four more payments. It's always something to bow down to. Fear! Huh? If I make this decision and I do this or that, and it's popular to do this and popular to do that, if I speak out and I let the Holy Ghost fill me and speak out against it, I better bow down. That's the safest thing to do. Don't bow down to fear. Don't ever bow down to it. Faith will take you through. You're looking at a guy that was afraid of everything. The biggest fear I had was that people find out I was afraid of everything. See, I put on such an act. It was a pretty tough act to follow, so nobody followed me to find out how fearful I was when I got home. Bow down to doubt? Oh, I doubted. Oh, I doubt. Oh, yeah. If any of these things are the center, you are sick. Obey Jesus Christ. Let Jesus trouble your troubles. God will give your troubles trouble. Be double trouble for the devil. That's right. In James 4 and 8, listen. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. One time years ago, I came in to a meeting And I never was a person that could take too much. And I came into the meeting and the devil was there and there was all these pastors and people there. God, someone got up and just tore loose. And I walked out of there and I got in my car and I started going down the road. And God says, let yourself be humble today. And I said, I am humbled. I was humbled in front of all them people. He says, no, you're not humbled because you're mad about it. Maybe, Paul, there was just one point where they were right. Are you willing to be humbled on one point? See, if they're 99% you're right, then that's the real test, because you're not going to start to measure up how good you are on the 99 points. Is there one point that you're wrong? Well, I says, I suppose probably there is one little point. I'm having a running conversation with God. Well, he says, will you humble yourself and admit it? Agree with your enemy quickly while he's in the way, and you know what will happen, Paul. He'll get out of your way. Agree with the adversary. And I agreed, and he got out of my way. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver, the judge, and the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know that your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead you should say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And that's the part of the message that got lost. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But see, we've said, he will do this, and then this will happen, period. And that is not the way it is. But as it is, you boast in your own arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin. Have you done that lately? You're listening on the radio or to the tape. Have you known to do good and you did it not? And that's sin. And the more you grow in the Lord and the more you know, the more you're held accountable for. Say amen, somebody. Stop, oh God, stop struggling. Stop trying and start trusting. He's able. Just receive and respond. And don't try to respond before you receive. So many times people try to get us to respond, or we try to get ourselves to respond before we receive. Oh God, give me love for that person. By faith I receive it. And they run out. I love you. I mean it. I love you. I do. And the person retorts, ah, get out of here. And, oh, then you go at it. You weren't ready. Don't respond before the Lord has made you ready. Say amen, somebody. Wait. Oh, by faith, oh, I have love, and I now, in faith, will walk to this person and say I love them. That is not true. There's some things in there that have to be worked out for. You're not capable of any kind of love anyway. God's got to work love into you.
And first of all, he'll show you all that's wrong with yourself so that you'll be a more lovable person. Oh, there was a person that used to irritate me so bad, my God, I could tell by the knock on the door who it was. Ooh. And one night I couldn't contain myself anymore. God, he was standing there with that look on his face, and ooh, who was jabbing at me with them remarks. And all of a sudden, I walked over. I found myself picking the man up. And I dumped him outside. And then I said to myself, well, I didn't hurt him or anything. I just carried that garbage out the door. Hey! You know what the Lord showed me? He says, stay away from that person. You're not ready for him. And about a year later, I seen the person. He came back in. It was the same knock. And it was the same person. It was the same barbs. But you knew who changed? I did. He didn't seem bad at all. And he came on strong. He did his best shot. I mean, he got carried away, but not by me. Say amen, somebody. God says, stay back until you are fit. And when he came on like gangbusters, but I had changed and I had grown. Hey. Do you understand what I just said there? So many times, by faith, I claim to have the complete love. No, no. That's like a little baby in diapers. I claim I can fly with an airplane. And he puts on a pilot's cap and pins on some wings on his diaper. Are you going to trust him to fly that airplane? No, sir. Can I read a couple pieces of scripture before I close here? Oh, God. Gospel according to John. And this is chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. We got rights. To become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You're listening on the radio. If you aren't born again, listen. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, he hath done it. Hallelujah. He hath done it. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I say one more thing before I close here? Concentrate on accepting. The man with the withered hand, Jesus asked him to do the impossible. The man offered his willingness, and Jesus Christ gave him the power. What have I just said there? Willing people are always asked to do the impossible. Are you willing tonight? Willing people are always asked to do the impossible. Well, there's a song like that, you know. Only believe. Only
believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. That's all you got to do, is be willing to believe. And when you're willing to believe, God will make all things possible if you'll only believe. When you're willing, God always uses those that are willing to do the impossible. Oh, God, use me to do the impossible according to what lies within me, say tonight. If the Son, it says, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, I remember those freedoms that I got that first month of reclusing away from everything. It was too wonderful for words. Withered walk that was watered. People bound up by fear will be free. Oh, I remember that feeling of being cleansed from my past. Oh, I remember I had to make restitution sitting there in that bathtub bawling my eyes out. And I found out that restitution comes many times before the restoration. Whew. Have you wounded somebody in their walk? Wash their feet. Say you're sorry. Repent. In short, change. Have Christian attitudes. Get your home together. Have a good Christian character. Have a quiet time and get involved. In short, change. Can I read it? Is anybody in a great hurry? Can I read a couple of pieces of scripture before we close here? Let me. I think it's important that I do it. Let me do it. Romans 5, 1 and 2, and I'll go as quickly as I can. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a peace that is. Through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And then we turn over here to James 4 and 8, and it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your... I think I read that one. Here we are then in Luke 19 and 8 through 10. And Zacchaeus stopped and said, Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, restitution. And I will... And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. That's how I felt. Oh, God, I just want to get right. I got this good, good feeling. I just want to get right. I got to make restitution. Where should I go? Go back. Give those funds back. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them which are lost. Oh, beautiful Jesus. Listening on the radio now, listen to these salvation scriptures. In Acts 16, and we start in verse 30 here. And after he had brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your whole household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour
of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. In Acts 16 and 14 and 15 says, "And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart." When you listen, God opens up your heart. To respond to the things spoken by Paul. Wow. Oh, God. Let me go on here now. Oh, God, it's so good. Here we are in 1 Timothy 3 and 12 and 13. "Let the deacons be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Let's have a good report. Quickly now, here we are in Psalm 119 and verse 147. "I rise before dawn and cry out for help." Rise up and cry out for help. "I wait for thy words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate upon thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to thine ordinances.